Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. Play now at supercoach.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Yeah, we're not on, are we?
Put moron number two on the phone.
That's the gold you don't get anywhere else.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
G'day, Rush Hour listeners. It's Billy Brownless. Happy Friday, everyone. Frothy Friday. Today we go back to have a look at a few of my golden moments and a few bronze moments from my co-hosts. Boomers coach Brian Gorgian, after his Olympic medal win. Well done, Gorge. We got the Rush Hour family involved in What the Hell and also a very popular Friday flashback.
But first, there's been an interesting subplot developing off the back of the grand final.
Tell me, this has intrigued me. It's been going on for a week or so now, just simmering away in the background. The rivalry, full of nastiness, between the Western Bulldogs and the Melbourne Football Club, and it's all happened after the grand final, Joe. What's happening, please?
There have been some reports come out in recent days, Billy, and it's off the back of, if you can cast your mind back to after the preliminary final when the Western Bulldogs beat Port Adelaide. There was that leaked vision of them in the change rooms celebrating with a beer and singing this famous song, Rabsy.
So what is that song?
It's called Freed From Desire by Gala from 1996.
Righto.
So it's not a new song. It's from 1996.
But they played it all year, didn't they?
I think they played it all year. They had a bit of a theme with it. It was something to do with the Western Bulldogs, their theme getting into it. And there was
it's used in soccer chants, so that's become popular.
Righto.
And it's been tradition that the Western Bulldogs, after wins, have generally gone into the change rooms. They turn the lights off and they play some tunes.
Yes.
That's just a bit of a thing they do to celebrate, and good on them. But then after the grand final, with all the leaked social media vision of all the players they posted, this happened after the game, back out on the ground at Optus Stadium after Melbourne had the win. Now, clearly they didn't sing it as well because probably not as many of them knew the lyrics, but there is a bit of word
so
that whether
the Melbourne Footy Club
after beating the Dogs in the grand final, whether they've just deliberately sort of sung their song, almost, I don't know, lacking a little bit of grace, whether it was a bit of a taking the mickey out of the Dogs, that's been the talk.
Right.
I don't know whether that's correct or not, but that is what some of the, Tom Brown and a couple others have been reporting, some journalists, that maybe that's what's, and it's got back to the Dogs, and maybe they're a bit seething about it quietly, that they felt it was a little bit disrespectful.
Over a song.
There so they're go. Building up a bit of a rivalry.
Yeah.
Did you boys have any big rivalries when you played?
At the country footy, you do. Because and the closer the towns are, the bigger the rivalry. And I played for Drewry. We hated Finley, which was just 35 Ks down the road.
Right.
Because we all had to go to Finley High. So you get on a bus, go to Finley High. They thought they were King Dick.
Yep.
And you just hated Finley. So there was a good rivalry there.
Right.
But the big one at school.
I tell you what we hated. Yeah. I went to Marsland.
Right.
We had this big rivalry with all these tosses that went to Assumption.
Flogs.
What?
That's
where
Bill went.
I went to
Assumption. Yeah.
And
I might have been a bit earlier than you. But we had a rivalry with the Flogs from Marsland.
Oh, you Assumption tossers. We used to hate Assumption.
Yeah, same. Ditto.
And we used to beat you all the time.
You
used to get jealous.
Never beat us.
Assumption always thought they were this good footy school, and we've got Billy Brownless and Shane Crawford, and Marsland used to beat them every year.
They did for a while there. But I'll tell you what happened. This is a rivalry that when we played Marsland at Marsland, so all the schools out there watching the big game Friday, Arvo, 2 o'clock, they let the school out, and they all gather around the boundary, and it's a good crowd and good atmosphere. And the Marsland coach, this is back in 1982 or something in my HSC year, 1983, 1984, I think.
Oh, my God.
I can't remember when I did
this.
This
is your life, Bill, not ours.
Yeah, 84 maybe, HSC year.
Yep.
So we're playing, we're ready to, the buzzer's ready to bounce, the umpire's ready to bounce the ball, the siren's ready to go. Every Marsland player took off their jumper
and rubbed it in our faces.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a bit rude.
Oh, that's a bit rude. Mm. Did it start an all-in brawl or anything or what?
Well, Marcelin won easy.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Are you fluent in piano?
No, I'm not.
Are you fluent?
Fluent in piano.
It's the best of Triple M's Rush Hour, and one of the best moments from 2021 was when the Boomers took home their first bronze medal in Tokyo. So we had to chat to their coach.
Our next guest led the Boomers to their first ever Olympic medal, cementing his status as Australia's best ever basketball coach. To tell us all about the Boomers' run in Tokyo, please welcome Brian Gorgin.
Bill, of all of the Olympic stories, and there were hundreds of them, and they were all magnificent, right. This, I think, captured Australia more than any other.
I think you're right.
The Boomers' first ever Olympic medal, and this man, his resume is just now quite simply extraordinary. He joins us from Darwin. Brian Gorgin, welcome.
How are we? How's Melbourne?
Well, we're locked down in Melbourne here, mate, as you are up there in Howard Springs. But have you had time to reflect and just think, wow, how good was that?
No, more so than anything I've ever been involved in. You know, the stress always in your mind as a coach, what happens if this doesn't happen? And when I took the job late, obviously just before the Olympics started, knowing you only have 5 days of practice, the level in which they played and taking the next step of getting a medal was a challenge. And if it didn't happen, what then? So the relief of actually getting it done, I haven't stopped. I'm with four or five guys. We're in bungalows next to each other. We get up in the morning, have a couple, look at each other on the balcony and pump our fish. That fist, there's a constant effort of not letting that feeling go.
Oh, and Gorge, the thing we loved watching was the team was never beaten. Got down in games, got into strife, got yourselves out of strife, big performances, gutsy, hanging in. That was the bit I loved about it, was the way you played as much as the bronze.
I agree with you that the culture, and again, being a unique scenario for me, starting it in Athens 12 or so years ago, finishing up in Beijing when Patty and Joe were kids, 18, 19 years old, and coming back 12 years later and walking into Irvine with the culture just coming at you and the commitment from the players and that gold vibes only really was more of not the medal, more of a standard of everything that they did. From how the training facility was presented, the bus ride, the food, the music, everything, which led to a style of play that, I really felt, I knew eyes were going to be honest, but I knew Australian public, whatever sport you're in, that you would be attracted to it.
Mm. What about, I've heard you speak about this and I thought it was fantastic, after the loss to the USA, and then you had another big game, the bronze game coming up, but you went in there and you led them there. You said, mate, we're not going to rest on our laurels. We're not going to think about it. No sympathy here. We need to win this game. And you really took it up to them, I reckon, the players.
I really ran it more like Australian rules footy, yeah. Soccer, which was different for me. More of a manager, had people in charge of the defense, the offense, special situations. And I'd come in and comment on each, communicate with the leadership group. But my voice, I picked my moments and my strongest moment. Again, it was very much everybody, and it was very much leadership throughout. But this was my moment. And when I walked in there, everybody's head was down, water bottles, guys crying.
Yeah.
And I came in and, my message was head up, back straight. We're 0-11 here. You know, come on now. Mm. This has never been done. You haven't got this done. All eyes are on us. No time to cop out. Where's our, the culture? You know, we're in entertainment. You got an opportunity to showcase this and the whole nation's going to be watching. And I had their attention. And again, was proud of where they went.
Yeah,
I love this too. And we are going to play this audio, Gorge, because it got through to us that you arrived in Darwin,
Howard Springs.
Swimmers already there. Have a listen.
Yeah, go the Boomers! Boomers! Yeah,
How good's that?
That was something. I got to say, we went back to the with COVID. There was a different element to this too. The Olympic team really supported each other, and we came back to the village. The TV was on in front. Everybody was getting high fives, and I got to say, we had a good time. I hadn't been to bed for like a day and a half, so I got on that plane,
good,
half asleep. Came in the middle of the night. I was dragging my suitcases, walking around the corner, and go, "Holy shit, what's this?"
That's Aussies. It's that is brilliant. Aussies.
That's what it is.
Hey, do you get a medal, Gorge?
No.
Really?
Honestly, totally irrelevant. It's something you wear around your heart, and it's something and they always, how are you going to approach the next, whether it's a championship or whatever? And I remember winning my first one in 92 and meeting, as you said, go outside your box. I talked to somebody that won three or four, and I go, how are we going to defend this? How are we going to come back? Mm-hmm. And they go, you don't defend it. You know, you wear that around your heart. It's not up for sale. It's not up. You know, you've got that. Yeah. You're not defending. It's all about pursuit. And I think the same thing with this. You know, I don't need something around my neck. For me personally, it's like, man, it's an experience I had with a special group that I carry in my heart, and it'll never leave me.
You deserve something, Ranjan. It was nuts. We loved every second of it. Can't wait for you to get out of quarantine up there, get down to Melbourne, and every Australian's buying you a beer.
And believe me, I'll drink every one.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Now, Jim, I've got the awkward of all awkwardness. Awkward with a capital A.
For Carlton Draft, this is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour, and it's time to hear from the family.
We're talking what the hell here. The last time you were forced to say what the hell.
What the hell?
Now, we've got beautiful callers we're about to get to, but prior to that, Bill, we've also had some nice social media input into this one, and we're going to splice that through the calls. But right. I like our mate, Craig Loki.
What did he say, Jim?
A few years back, I was watching a pre-season match out at Skinner Reserve.
Yeah, that's all right.
A plane flew over the oval and number 16 from Geelong stopped.
Come on, Loki, you fool's head.
And just stared up at the plane.
And the coach thought,
what the hell?
Well, he didn't actually think that, Jim. He said, choke on this.
Michael from Caulfield, Bill, joins us.
Hello, Mickey boy. What the hell?
G'day, guys. How you doing?
When did you say, what the hell?
Well, I'm a teacher, and one day I was walking the corridors, and a couple of my kids were outside one of the classrooms, and I asked them what was going on, and one kid brought out from his jacket pocket a freshly bought steak from Coles.
Oh, no.
What the hell?
Raw?
Like, it was literally purchased from the meat department, and he's put it in his jacket on the inside of his jacket.
Oh, no.
Because he was going to go home that night to cook it up. Now, boys, that's not the end of it.
Oh.
I've taken it off him, put it in our staff fridge, given it to him at the end of the day. Here's the thing. He missed the next 2 days of school because he cooked it up and got food poisoning.
Oh, no.
What the hell?
What the hell? Stay there, Mick. I like that. Alison in Kilsyth, Bill.
Hello, Alison.
Hi.
Where are you going?
Great.
What do you got for us? When's the last time you said what the hell there, Ali?
Oh, it wasn't just what the hell, but this morning. My son was driving on his L to work with me in the car.
Yeah.
And the car just, like, nearly wiped us out, and my son's held his composure and almost mounted the curb, and we avoided the collision, and I was very proud.
Oh, what's your son's name?
His name is Max.
Maxie.
Oh, Maxie. Oh, good on you. Yeah. Slapsy. Yes.
Well done.
Well done, Max.
Stay there, Alison. Yeah. Like that. Yes. Jakey Patterson. What the hell's in Greg Blewett's water on the boundary line?
Oh, Pearl.
Greg Blewett on the boundary for Bob Jane Teamarts.
Clean belly heel, bill of health. Clean bill of health for both teams down here, guys.
Ralph's in Geelong. Fat hello, Ralphie.
Ralph!
Yes!
What the hell?
No, that's what Ed used to say back in the day on the footy show days. Ralph!
Yes!
All right, Ralph. What happened?
I had a six-pack of reputable alternatives to beer, and one of them was bone dry and empty.
No.
Oh. He bought a six-pack?
And one of them's empty?
Yep.
Oh, no.
You didn't go to the Cremorne?
No, it wasn't from the Cremorne. But I took it back and they replaced it one for one.
Well, that's good. Oh, that so they bloody Cremorne should, by the way. You wouldn't have got the replacement out of the Cremorne. stay there, like that,
Jim,
Ralphie.
I like this one. Two blokes were punching on on the middle of the Westgate. This happened 2 days ago. Two tradies got out, punched on in the middle of Westgate. So there's a big lineup, of course, behind.
Mm.
A truckie come along, got out. He said, "You blokes, get in your car and get going. Stop the fight." And, yeah.
Well, that's weird.
Matthew O'Brien, what the hell? Every year when Bill gets another contract on the rush.
What the hell?
Actually, I'm up soon, Jim.
Is it a Keed?
Keed?
In Watsonia, are we saying that right, Keed?
Yeah, nailed it. Well done, boys.
Beauty, mate. What the hell?
Where? What the hell's with your name?
It's a bit of a mixed up name. I was just driving down Southern Road, and there's two lanes going either way, so four lanes in total.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I seen this motorbike, like, full kit up, like he was doing some Red Bull stunt. He split the lane, going the opposite way between me and the car next door.
What went between you?
Between us. He split it there. Before I knew what was going on, I just said, literally, what the hell? And then realised what happened. It all happened that quick. I didn't know what was going on.
Going the other way.
For old Keith.
The other way.
You would legitimately crap yourself.
Actually, you're probably better you didn't know what was going on, because then if you did see him coming, you would have gone one way or the other.
Sammy Milnyards.
That's exactly what happened, Bill.
See, I know Keith. No, I'm all like over all this.
How JB wasn't the face of the Olympics. What the hell? I can't. There's only so much lifting I can do.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And in Melbourne, we call it a slab, Jim.
What's a slab of beer bought you, Bill?
So get the vernacular right.
How did he get that?
That's unbelievable.
It's the best of the Rush Hour on Triple M, all thanks to our mates at Carlton Draft. And on Friday, we like to have a look back through the illustrious history of the show. And today, we're heading back all the way to 2014.
What we're going to do right here is go back. The Rush Hour's Friday Flashback.
We did step back in time. Jim, I'm bringing something to the table which I think can change the landscape of this great city of Melbourne.
Right.
It's going to be an iconic thing.
Right.
Up there with the Opera House in Sydney and the Harbour Bridge.
Ah.
Yeah, something that will signify Melbourne, okay? So when you're driving across the Baltic Bridge.
Signify Melbourne.
I was trying to think of the word. Yes.
I don't know what you're
When you're driving across the Baltic Bridge, Jim, and you see the two poles there, what do you think of?
Well, for me, that's the best view of Melbourne in the city
when
you drive over the Baltic. That view across Etihad to the buildings is absolutely magnificent. So for me, that's if you can take a snapshot of that, it's magnificent.
No, spot
that's
on.
What I think.
Exactly. I'm with you there. But what do you think of when you see the two poles?
Well,
Jim?
I think of our idiot mate Sam, who says that they're not connected to anything.
But they're goalposts. That's what I think of, Jim.
You think of them as goalposts?
I see them as goalposts. And here is what I'm going to do, and I propose.
There are only two of them, Bill. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. So we're going to put point posts either side of the two big goalposts at Baldy Bridge, so it'll be a set of goal sticks.
So you'd have them out in the water either side of the bridge.
Out on the water, either side of the bridge, which shouldn't take too much work. So the two little point posts, which light up at night, by the way, and then you've got the goalposts there, and it'll look magnificent. So when you're coming, a helicopter, a plane flying over, they'll see the goalposts.
Right.
When people drive through, they'll drive through the goals coming into Melbourne. And when the helicopter flies over for the big Friday night game and the broadcasters are showing it, they fly over the Baldy Bridge and there are the goalposts with the two-point posts either
paint
side.
Paint them the team's colours when they win the grand final.
And whoever wins the grand final, you fly the flag from the two goalposts.
Right.
Exactly right, Jim. So
have
this
you got
is
an example of what you're talking about?
He's got some artwork going at the moment. It's on our Facebook, Twitter and triplem.com.
Have a look at it right now.
I've seen
there's
the
a poll
artwork
online.
What do you think?
Well, Bill, what I think is it can't be your idea, so who thought of it?
No, me.
Right, I'm asked that
boy called
again.
Andrew. But we worked it together.
Did you?
Yes, we worked it out together last week. We're sitting down just talking about the Baldy Bridge. I don't know why we were, but I think it's a great idea. It symbolises Melbourne, it will. Mm. It's iconic. It's up there.
Symbolic.
Symbolic. Mate, you'll see it and you'll go, or people will see it overseas and they'll go, Melbourne. That is Melbourne.
No,
that is the city of Melbourne.
People overseas go, why are there two giant pylons sitting out
in the middle of nowhere in the water?
Are they widening
They'll say
the
there's those goalposts which symbolises Melbourne. Right, so I love it.
I'm not sure that they would.
Hence. What we need to do here with the family, 133353, get online.
What is it?
What is it? This is your segment.
This is your segment.
Yes, I know.
Get online, have a look at Bill's goalposts around the Balti, and then give us your thoughts.
That's right, Jim.
Honest assessment. Dean's on the line first, Bill.
What do you think, Dino?
Mate, I think it's one of the best ideas you've come up with.
Exactly. Because
it's brilliant.
As soon as you see it, mate,
yep,
you know that's the Bolt or Bill's Bridge. Sorry, not the Baldy Bridge.
Yeah. Bill's Bridge.
Yeah, and it's a goalpost. That's what Melbourne's known for. It's a heartland of the AFL. It's a good one.
Yep. That is a good one. Yep.
Good on you, Dino.
Jason joins us in Laverton. Hello, Jason.
Hi, Jason. How you going, boys? I'm in Laverton, but I'm actually from Sydney.
Yeah.
And we've got the icons, you know, the bridge and the Opera House. And I've got to tell you, Bill, that is a cracking idea.
Ah.
So I'm all for it. I reckon you come across that Baldy Bridge, it's a, you know, it's a bit of an ugly, you know, concrete eyesore.
Mm.
Yep. The goalpost, I'm thinking perfect idea.
Yep.
Have you done a business case around it, Bill? What's it going to cost?
Yeah. Two bits of concrete either side, and you put the...
You know what they are,
mate, I'm going to go to Napthine, Dr. Napthine.
Bill, what's your cost?
I haven't done a costing.
Haven't you?
I just go with the ideas. I'm not the costing. The back office do the costing.
Would it get sponsored or something, Bill, maybe?
Well, I don't know about sponsored because
then you could have, like, the padding around it. Like put padding.
And then I might be able to make some money out of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm. Not that I'm agreeing with the idea.
Grant,
it's ridiculous.
Werribee.
How are you, Billy?
Yeah, good, Grant.
Not a bad idea, mate. Not a bad idea. But when you're coming over the west gate onto the Bolt to head towards Proa, the power line's too close to have another section hang out over the side. So, it might be a little bit buggered.
So it won't work, Bill.
No, I haven't. We'll have a look at that, Grant. I'm not sure about that. I don't know how many times Grant's been over that bridge, but I'll have a look at it and see about the power lines.
Plenty of times.
He appears to know what he's talking about.
If he knows where the power lines are, I reckon he's done it plenty of times.
No, you two are very negative because I've come up with a good idea.
Andrew has, yep. Shane in Caroline. Springs might be. Hello, Shane.
Yeah, you got to have it, mate. At the moment, they look like two rugby league posts. You got to have the four. This is Victoria, not New South Wales.
Exactly.
Great idea, mate.
Yeah. See, and Melbourne is known for the heartland of the AFL, Jim. You've got to agree, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, but it's not your idea. I like the idea.
No, well,
but Andrew
combined,
came up with it.
Can we get
combined.
Andrew on?
Yeah,
Jill, can we get Andrew
on?
No,
we can't.
Came up with the idea?
And we can't.
No, can't we?
We can't.
All right.
He can't talk. He's in the back office. I am front of house.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, Marco, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
For Carlton Draft, this is Triple M's Best of the Rush Hour. Carlton Draft serving our nation that brewery fresh taste for generations 18 plus. Drink responsibly. And we have been giving out slabs of the beautiful Carlton Draft for you to win. All you need to do is enter at triplem.com.au a joke for Billy to read out.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Carlton Draft, serving our nation that brewery fresh taste for generations.
18 plus, drink responsibly.
Thank you, Rabbits. Good work. And here's our final two jokes for the week. This one is from Mark. An elderly man is out driving when the radio announcer, probably me on Rush Hour, suddenly says, "Beware of dangerous car driving against the general direction of travel." Annoyed, the man, alone in his car, mumbles to himself, "One, there's bloody hundreds of them." I know you won't get that, Rabs, but that he's the one that's actually driving the wrong way. Good one. Well done, Mark. And this one is from Connor. Righto, Connor Monster. I was in the gym earlier and decided to jump on the treadmill. People were giving me weird looks, so I started jogging instead. Uh-huh. Yeah. Righto. Believe it or not, Connor, you've won a slab of Carlton Draft. Well done to you, Coco. And, of course, so do you, Marco. Well done, boys. A slab each of the magnificent Carlton Draft.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. You could win the holy grail of fantasy footy and 50k cash. Play now, supercoach.com.au.